Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
Hello, this is David.
Hey, this is Andy.
We're welcoming you to come and reason together through the Bible, so get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee or tea, and we're going to reason together. And starting in Matthew 23, 25 through 26, we've been talking about the circumcision of the heart. The first place we read was the covenant between God and Abraham. I think that was Genesis 17, where God made an everlasting covenant with man. How long is everlasting, David?
Well, I would say it just keeps on going and going and going.
Do you think we're under that covenant of circumcision?
Yes. Certainly. At least the circumcision of the heart that we've been talking about, for sure.
So before you turn your radio off, we're not talking about the circumcision of the flesh. We're talking in the New Testament. It goes on, even in the Old Testament, it talked about it directly, about circumcising your heart. And so now, guess what? Circumcision of the heart is in the New Testament more than once. So what you going to read, David?
Okay, I'm going to read Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." It's interesting that nowadays, quite often we see people, and probably done it myself a time or two, work on having a good appearance for certain situations. Maybe it's to be in a relationship with somebody, or maybe it's to go to church or whatever, but yet not really taking care of the inside of my life. The things that I think about or the lusts of what the Bible calls the lusts of the flesh are, which we've read about in Galatians chapter 5. And most religions, in fact, I could probably say all of them except for the religion that God has established in the Bible, work on disciplines of the outside of the body, but they first try and get people disciplined in outward things before working on the heart. Whereas God does things just the opposite. He works from the inside out.
There's no other religion that focuses on forgiveness of sins as does God's true religion, does there?
No, nor the sacrifice for sin, which Jesus, of course, gave to mankind, that he did for mankind.
His own life, his own soul, he gave it for man.
Yes.
You know, you're right. Other beliefs say to just start doing good. But how do you just start doing good if you're still the same person? So God fixes what's wrong, and then you start doing good.
And also in the Old Testament, the first thing God told people was to return to him. Adam and Eve fell away, and God provided a way to return to him through his Son. Everything came out of God the Father through his Son. We fell. But God provided in his infinite mercy and tender kindness to man, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance, provided a way through his Son, the Creator, to come back into the Father. So we would call the inside of the cup the heart of man, right? And the heart of man looks like it includes the spirit of man and the soul. So he starts with the heart. And the cleansing of the heart. Why do so many Christians still have guilt for prior sins? Do you think this is missing?
Oh, absolutely. And it's also quite a struggle to even clean up all the things that have to do with the outside of the cup, because there's still that struggle inside.
Well, you, my friend, might be trying to do it yourself. How about if God does this, and only God can cleanse your heart? David can, he might bring up some other thoughts that he has on them cleaning their heart. Well, I think he's got a thought right now.
Yes, there's a proverb, Proverbs 20, verse 9, that says, "Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin?" Who can say that? Oh, mankind certainly tries to do that, but only God is the one that's able to do that completely.
Cleansing diets don't work. You can cleanse your liver. You can cleanse your kidneys by drinking a lot of water. But you can't cleanse that hidden part of man, the heart.
I was going to read in. Do you have something else, David?
Well, go ahead, I guess. I'll hold this for a little bit later. How about
okay.
that?
All right, good.
Or go ahead. Maybe
okay,
it's still in the same vein.
All right. This is also a psalm, Psalm 28, verse 5, because we're talking about a work that God does versus man trying to do things. Psalms 28, verse 5 says, "Because they do not regard the works of the Lord nor the deeds of his hands, he will tear them down and not build them up." So it's very important for us to regard what God can do, and regarding it would mean to allow him to do his work through obedience to the scriptures.
To esteem it or to consider it number one. He's the only one that can make us perfect.
Yes. And if we do regard his work and the works of his hands, then he will build us up. But if not, we're going to be torn down. So
again, we're talking about circumcision. The Jews were told they were called scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. And he's actually, again, talking to the religious leaders, which today would be priests, preachers, Bible teachers, and so on. So he's talking to us. I mean, we can't exclude ourselves, can we?
No, we can't.
We're in the mix, so we better be careful we're doing this.
And the works of the hands that he was talking about with the scribes and the Pharisees, and like you said, even ourselves, is when we try and do the work ourselves, our own works.
And we've never done that, have we?
Well, maybe like all of our life until we learned about
doing
things.
All of our life until we didn't do it.
Till we changed our mind about it.
So there's still some things we have to learn to keep our hands off.
You have to keep your hands off of things.
Yeah. Do you think we still, even today, as we are Holy Spirit filled, we're not exactly perfect in this yet, are we?
Well, God says he is the potter and we are the clay. So if you find dirt under your fingernails one day, you know you're trying to be God.
You cut your hands in the mix of something.
You know how people like to mold people?
Yeah.
Here, let me mold you. And if you start molding someone, this is what's going to happen. You're going to mold them into your image.
I remember trying to mold my wife a little bit. How do you think that went over?
Did you get your hand slapped?
Yeah. You're going to read something, weren't you, Andy?
Sure. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." And I want to look at verse 11. It says, "In him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." Here's talking about this circumcision again, that's not man's but God's. It says, by putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And here it opens up the subject of who actually does this circumcising. It's Jesus. Now this, friends, might be something that you want to pay attention to. Jesus has to do with circumcising your heart. He came and he died for your sins on the cross, but now he went back to God the Father, but now it shows he's circumcising your heart. Jesus is active in your life by doing this one thing. And if you go to verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together. So Jesus brings us from the dead. He makes us alive together. And notice what happens here at this circumcision too, forgiving you all your trespasses. So the circumcision and the forgiveness of trespasses are tied together in this one verse.
So let's say you're a doctor. A man comes in to be examined by you, Dr. Andy. And Dr. Andy, and the man has a big growth on his head, maybe where he sleeps, you know, on the side of his head, and it's a big growth. And, well, Dr. Andy, when I sleep at night, I'm fine during the day. My head kind of leans a little bit to one side. I feel a little heavy on one side. And when I wake up in the morning, I got this huge headache, especially right here. And what do you think, doctor?
I don't know. Let me look at that a little more.
Well, how about if somebody comes to you, Andy, and says, I never feel a forgiveness of sins?
Well, according to this, I would look at that verse and go, have you had your heart circumcised?
I still carry this guilt, even from when I was a little kid. What's wrong with me, doctor?
The tie of Jesus having to circumcise your heart to get these sins forgiven.
I've done all these things myself. I've said the sinner's prayer. I have.
You had your heart circumcised?
But I've asked Jesus into my heart.
Have you had your heart circumcised? Have you heard about
what
that?
What is a circumcision of the heart?
It's something that Jesus does.
Well, I've tried all these things myself.
Jesus has to do this.
Oh. It's not something I do.
He's not done with you. He has to do this to help you.
Well, how much is it going to go? Am I still going to carry some guilt around?
He's going to forgive you all.
All.
In fact, there's a place in the Psalms that says, as far as the east is from the west, he takes these transgressions away from you.
He does that.
He does it.
I've tried to do it myself and it's not working. And I've been a Christian for years.
He does it for you.
Why haven't ministers told me about this? I still carry this guilt around and they just say, it's all right. This is normal. And I call myself a sinner.
Well, if Jesus forgives you of all your sins, you're righteous then, and your conscience and your heart will be clear because he circumcised it.
Does this mean I'll never sin again?
No.
Well, how does that work?
Well, there's a whole lot about that in the Bible, but once you get the Holy Spirit, then you have power to overcome your sin. And as you go along, you'll overcome more and more. And in the meantime, when you can't overcome, you can get forgiven by asking Jesus
so
to forgive you.
It's not me being perfect then?
No.
But it's all about getting my sins forgiven.
It is about getting your sins forgiven, and the first time that happens is when Jesus circumcises your heart.
Hey, I remember years ago somebody told me I must be born again. So when I'm born again, I guess, is that what it's saying? That this is when all my sins are forgiven, when I'm born again?
Well, those two subjects are tied together, but you have to look into that and see how that really works to understand it.
So we need to go into that later.
We need to go into that because that's another piece to this puzzle to understand the aspect of born again and circumcision of the heart and how they interrelate and how they really work together.
Now, you know what? In all my searchings, I have to tell you, I started reading the Bible this year, and I read all the way through it, and I've never seen the sinner's prayer. As a matter of fact, when Paul was met by the Lord himself, he never told me to say the sinner's prayer. He never told me to call on his name. He just told me to go to Damascus.
Well, don't you find it interesting how the Bible has things it says directly and the other things that you hear that aren't in the Bible, they must not be from God.
Well, it never told Paul to ask Jesus into his heart.
You read that then. It didn't say that.
It never said to say the sinner's prayer. It never said to call on his name. He was just told to go to Damascus. I just read that.
And it said that you'll be told what you must do, meaning God actually, if you read that story, God sent somebody to him and told him what he was supposed to do.
Right.
If you read that story, it's very interesting. If you follow the story, you'll go, oh, that's what he means.
And where is that? I couldn't remember where that was.
I believe that's in Acts chapter 22.
Because I'm rather new to the Bible.
Acts chapter 22 would be a good one to read.
So all the sins are put off, Andy. I'm back in.
Okay.
This is me again.
Gotcha.
But the reason we've been doing this is because these are conversations we have had with people for 40 years. 40 years of talking to people and talking to Christians and just talking to people about getting their sins forgiven where they still feel like they are guilty and have not had the remission of sins, the sending away of all their sins, every one of them. And so he just read about the circumcision of the heart, and tell us all the benefits there. What are all the benefits, Andy?
You put off the body of the flesh. In other words, this your lust and your carnal nature that we talked about in Galatians chapter 5, all of these things like pouting and all those other ones, it's put off. It doesn't have any power anymore. It's put away. And he makes you alive. I don't know how big that would be. He makes you alive. It says, and I'll read this again in verse 13. And if you read Colossians 2:13, this is really big. It says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him. So to be alive together with Jesus, it has to do with circumcision. And then the forgiveness of all trespasses. And when all trespasses are forgiven, that's a giant weight that's taken off of you.
Well, it says you were dead. You were dead. And we know in the Old Testament that death means separation. When Adam and Eve sinned, it said, the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. They didn't die. They weren't dead. They were still living, but they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden away from God's presence, which is death. Separation from God, that's exactly what death means in the Bible. You'll find us time and time again. The Jews even do something that when a person commits something that is so grievous to them, like one of their kids, they will even perform this is the old Orthodox Jewish thing. You might not agree with this, but they understand the term death is they will perform a funeral for that child and put them away. This is harsh, but they will put them away, and it's because they understand what that word death means. Now, don't get freaked out about that. I've never done that to my children, but this is a new test.
You might have wanted to once or twice.
Maybe for a short time.
Myself included.
My mom kids. Did that. She evacuated me from the house, and I had to go live on my own, which is the best thing for me. But then the next day, I tell the story, she shows up at my door in my apartment and with a box of canned food.
You know, when you use that word separated, you're separated from God. And when you're separated from someone, you could talk to them, you could have all these conversations with God, and you feel like he never answers you. And you may wonder what's going on there. But when you're alive to him, remember we learned earlier that you can be a friend of God. So now all of a sudden, a friend of God or separated from God. And all of this circles around Jesus Christ causing this to happen when your heart gets circumcised.
And even beyond that, a friend who is part of God's household.
And you become part of God's household.
All of you, if you remember the day that you became a friend to your parents, you were the kid and you were always talked to like the kid. But if you remember the day you became your parents' friend, sometimes some of us were still children or teenagers or whatever, but I remember when I became the friend of my parents and they would just sit down and we would talk together like friends. So not only just in his household, part of his household, but a friend. And that's exciting. I like that. I love my time with my mom and my dad. We do a lot of things together. I feel sad when some kids don't ever have that with their mother and father. But that was a very special, it's very special to sit down and be able to just talk to your parents.
Oh, I agree. Some of my fondest memories of growing up were those times when I was getting along with my mom and dad and spending time with them. And then, you know, I went through my teenage years and I got a little rebellious at times, but thank God he, you know, straightened me out a bit or a lot. And, but you do look back on those nice memories of those things. And my dad is still with me this day, and I still enjoy spending time with him.
So think of this and God, your dad, and you. So circumcision makes us available, makes it a reality.
It makes us part of a family, his family.
The body of sins is put off. The sins no longer, doesn't mean they're not there. We'll get into that later, but they no longer control you. That is the biggest thing. It's put off to the flesh, but it no longer controls the center of the cup, the inside of the cup, where the pilot seat is. Doesn't mean sometimes that as a believer that you won't have to face up to certain things you do, but God has provided a way there through the blood of Jesus. And that we'll talk about that later, but God's got everything covered. Take it easy there, but don't take it easy until you get this done, because Paul didn't. Remember, back to this story, but I'm just saying, rest assured that God has got all the answers. He's got all the provisions provided for. So Paul meets Jesus, the Lord, on the way. He's a light above the brightness of the sun. I think that's Acts 9 or 19.
That's Acts 9.
He meets him on the way. Go read it. And not necessarily today, but you, my friends, you go read that and check it out. And then he's not told anything but go to Damascus, and he was told what to do. In other broadcasts, we're going to get into that conversation or that situation, what happens with Paul and a man named Ananias. And we're going to go into that in detail, but not right now. We're mainly talking about the benefits of being circumcised, being called a true Jew, starting with the inside of the cup, God doing this circumcision and this cleansing, bringing you into his household, forgiving all sins.
And in doing this, your praise isn't from men for doing this. Your praise is from God from doing this. He's pleased.
And you're made alive together with Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses. And it is time to go again. To continue on, please go to the next podcast, or if you're missing things, go all the way back. And we will see you the next time, and may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."